Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Any excuse for a good Ken Hawk Harrelson highlight going way back in the Wayback Machine, 1993 home run from Bo Jackson. Thanks, Hawk, for that memory. David Haw, Bruce Levine, it's Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are here until 11 o'clock talking baseball and referencing that highlight because we are trying to connect with our next guest, and he's in town. Gene Lamont was the White Sox manager for three and a half seasons, and he is now the bench coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. At 78 years old, they was invited by new manager Don Kelly last month, Bruce, to join the dugout to come in and offer his wisdom and experience, and he has a lot of it. I know you go way back with Gene Lamont. How surprised were you that he came back to the game?
I was very surprised because Gene and I talk all the time off season during the season. And he'd been, you know, a special assignment scout up until about 2 or 3 years ago, and he was just, you know, basically at home golfing and wanting to stay in touch, but stay in the game, but wasn't getting any calls. And then when Kelly took over, you know, the call came in to Gene to, you know, hey, we really want somebody to be with, you know, Kelly, who's, you know, a superlative baseball guy who's been there and done that, and we think you're the right guy. And turned out, you know, Gene said yes. Melanie, his wife, said yes, and he's back in the game. So, and Pittsburgh has really had a nice turnaround since Kelly took over. I think they're over 500 and playing better baseball. So, we'll see if we can connect with Gene. He might have just got stuck in a meeting. But as we segue away from talking about Gene and the Pirates a little bit, where would you like to go?
Well, the Sox were good back when he was a manager, 92 to 95, and those were the days. The 94 season, strike-shortened season, that was one of those things that happened in baseball that changed the course of Sox history, Bruce, because that would have been really something had they been able to finish what they started.
Yeah, and it is a shame. 1994, the White Sox were leading. Most people consider them and the Montreal Expos the most loaded, best teams to go to the World Series that year. It was August 12th when that season ended. And I think, you know, it was a very, very competitive division. I think Cleveland was a game behind. Kansas City was three behind the White Sox. So from that situation, you know, forward, I think that you know, it changed the history of baseball, and it certainly changed the White Sox. The White Sox started out in 1995 poorly, and for some reason, the White Sox let Gene go. I still haven't figured that out yet.
When you do, we'll address success. That as well. Yeah, 30 years later. Yeah. So, all right, we will keep trying to connect with Gene Lamont, but the White Sox are down in Texas. They're playing the Rangers, a week-long road trip in the state of Texas. First the Astros series, then the Rangers series. And Bruce, I think after the trade yesterday, Andrew Vaughn for Aaron Civale, who will pitch on Sunday, I want to look at more big picture with the White Sox. What is going on in terms of the, I don't know if it's a shifted philosophy or a downright change, but I do think it's noticeable. They seem to be promoting players and prospects at a higher rate than before. Maybe not waiting as long. I don't want to say it's impatience. It might be something that makes a lot of sense, but whether it's Kyle Teal coming up, Tim Elko earlier this season, and we saw Grant Taylor make his debut this week, and it was electric. I just wonder, are you detecting, is there something going on that has changed their thought process this year?
Yeah, you're seeing better players, right? You're seeing guys that have a chance. You're seeing younger guys that White Sox fans can start to look at and say, I think this guy Teal might be around here for a while. Mydroth, the same trade for, Crochet.
Yeah.
And then the best is yet to come in the way that Montgomery is playing ball at Double A right now, dominating games, just had a walk-off 2 days ago. I'm not saying he'll be here this year, but... Braden Montgomery is pushing his way toward the major leagues. So maybe that trade turns out to be one of the better trades that the White Sox ever made. We don't know, but I just think the quality of play this year and the steadiness that the team has played under win or lose under Will Venable, I think, has been noticeable. There's a noticeable difference between the White Sox this year, even still losing and losing a lot of games, but also playing a better quality of ball. How many games, do you even remember so far where they're just totally blown out?
Well, they're competitive, and I know that's a very small consolation, and the results are the results, but the process has improved, even if the outcome hasn't. And I think that's a key thing when you're in the midst of this size of a rebuild. So I do wonder, as we talk about Grant Taylor and Kyle Teal and guys who have come up and made their debuts, I wonder who's next. Because you could look at, Bruce, is it inconceivable to think that by the end of the season, your infield could look like at first base – Tim Elko, he's struggling a little bit at the plate, but I wonder what, maybe it's Miguel Vargas at first base, Brooks Baldwin at second base, Chase Mydroth at shortstop, Colson Montgomery at third. Is that realistic? Do you think that could happen?
I think those names are right, but they might be at different positions.
What do you got?
I think Montgomery's going to play shortstop. I think Mydroth is the future second baseman of the Chicago White Sox.
Aguino tell you that Colson Montgomery probably is not, his future is probably not at shortstop.
Okay, well, I think Ozzy and I are going to disagree on this right now.
You tell him.
That's where they've had him. That's where I want to see him play. He says he's too big and all that stuff. There's been some really good big shortstops. I think a guy by the name of Ripken was 6'4". A guy by the name of A-Rod was 6'4". There's big guys that can play the position. So I'm not afraid to give him a chance there. If he has to go to third or eventually first, so be it. He's a slugger. You hope you're getting left-handed home run power out of Colson Montgomery. But, don't change it right away. Just let him come up here and play. They're not playing to win the World Series. They're trying to play competitive baseball and bring up the good players that are going to be a part of this organization for the future. So let him have another week or two of a good play, stay healthy, and I'm all for Colson Montgomery showing up.
Grant Taylor certainly made his presence felt early in his debut. He threw 12 pitches, 10 of them were strikes, 6 of them topped 100 miles per hour, followed that up in his next outing with his first strikeout. Bruce, how do you anticipate them using Grant Taylor this season, and is he here for the duration?
Yeah, I think he's a bullpen guy the rest of the year, just a young guy. You saw him throwing 100 miles an hour. So from all of that, I would just say that he's a a terrific looking prospect that you're going to have to try to control. And, you know, again, with him, you go back and you reminisce about Burley and Sale and Crochet. How did they come through the system?
As starters? I mean, as starters? Yeah, you definitely look at that as, well, they started as relievers, they were starters, and then they made the transformation at the major league level. That's what gets you so excited about the future of a Grant Taylor. Also, Noah Schultz promoted to AAA, Bruce. We have to mention that in any conversation about White Sox prospects because he's the guy who seems to have the highest ceiling, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think that we've seen, I think yesterday he had a dominant performance. Is that right, David?
He was promoted, and I think it was after that kind of performance, yes. He's a guy to keep an eye on. Maybe he will be on the way before the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping that that's the case, but now I think we are able to turn back and bring in my buddy Gene.
Yes, we do. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is the Pirates bench coach, former White Sox manager Gene Lamont, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice talking to you guys.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome back to Chicago. I know that a lot of people might not have expected to see you in the Pirates dugout. We were talking about what brought you back to the game, Gene, after an absence. How would you describe why you are back in uniform, in the dugout, doing your job?
Well, I guess it's probably thought knew I could help Donnie some, but I wanted to go back. It was wasn't just for that. It was for myself, too. I kind of wanted to, you know, I still have real interest in the game. I manage every game I watch, so I thought it would be just as good to go back if I could.
What has that experience been like, Gene? I mean, I compare it to the Don Zimmer, Joe Torre days where – you know, having that extra mind, that experience, that suggestion was really helpful to Joe. How are you envisioning it right now?
Well, that's probably kind of like that, I guess. You know, of course, Joe had managed a lot, and Donnie really hasn't. So, you know, he has questions to ask. You know, I maybe add a few things. It's probably more like when I was the bench coach for Brad Ausmus instead of Jim Leland, a new manager. But it's been exciting and probably makes it a little better. We've been winning a few games, too.
You've watched a lot of baseball, Gene, over the years. When you see a pitcher like Paul Skeens perform on a regular basis now, what are we watching here in terms of, can you put him into any sort of historical perspective as early as it is in his career?
Well, as early as his career, you know, he's probably as good as anybody's been. You know, he has it all. You know, he's got the great size, has a great disposition, and you know, he was a little, wasn't as good yesterday as he had been, but he was still very good. So, you know, I rank him right up there with the young guys I've seen, like Verlander, and he's going to be, as long as he stays healthy, and I'm sure he will, he's going to be outstanding.
So, David, you have to know that Gene was also my bench coach in the only time that I managed 2.5 innings in 1995. So I take you back to 1995. The replacement players are there in Sarasota, and Gene and the coaches were, you know, and still are great friends of mine. And Gene said, this turned out to be the last replacement game. And Gene said, Bruce, you know, instead of leaving, come on down and manage this game. So here I am sitting there, right? And he didn't say it until about 3 minutes before the game started because I was leaving to go back up to the press box. And Gene says, okay, you're managing. So you know, I'm literally freaking out because even though it's a replacement game, I think I really know baseball. And I'm sitting there with Gene and Terry Bevington and Manzo and a bunch of the other coaches. They're laughing their butts off. They say, okay, what are you doing now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? I was so worn out after 2 innings, Gene. I said, I can't do this anymore. And I went back to the press box. But that was a That was some fun times that we had, considering it wasn't a fun time for baseball, was it?
Well, the replacement was, you know, kind of a, I guess, black mark, whatever you want to say. But, you know, baseball's come back really well from it. So, you know, it hurt us, the White Sox. You know, we thought we were ready to really do well after the 94 season. But we've moved on, and better days are ahead.
We're talking with Gene Lamont, the Pirates bench coach, former White Sox manager back in the 90s. He was manager of the team in 93 and 94 in first place in that division. And Gene, we have a journalist friend of the program, Mark Potash, who tweeted out a picture when he found out you were going to be on the program. It's on the front page of the Chicago Daily News 60 years ago when you were a first-round draft pick out of Kirkland Hiawatha High School to the Detroit Tigers. This is coming back to Chicago. Does it feel like home? Does it feel like when you're in this area, do you have fond memories that, whether it's from being drafted or managing the White Sox, what goes through your mind when you come back to this environment?
Well, it's probably more managing the White Sox. You know, I know I have my 60th class reunion day, so it was quite a while ago. But I love the city. Love the time I was with the White Sox, and those are, you know, great memories. But when I think of, you know, coming back, I think of really the time I had there in Comiskey.
So you are going to your 60th class reunion today?
No, I'm not. It's this year. I was going to go, but now I'm, you know, with the Pirates, I'm probably going to have to miss it. But, you know, I also have fond memories of, you know, went to school. I tell everybody I graduated eighth of my class, but we only had 44. So, not that great, but it was a good place to be brought up, Kirkland, Illinois, and I still love it.
Gene, pitching, David and I started our show by talking about the Skeens matchup with Cade Horton and the Cubs and how they all threw 1-5 beautiful innings, the other 5 2/3, and how the game's changed. Do you ever see organizations going back to developing pitchers in a different way and going back to, you know, the need for them to be complete pitchers, like Skeens is, certainly he is, and Horton's on his way, but allowing pitchers to go 110, 115 pitches again and throw 7 or 8 innings?
Well, I think they will. You know, I don't know if there's any real anything that says pitchers get hurt by throwing too many innings. You know, I just, there's an awful lot of injuries, you know, and I don't really know why it is, if it's because they throw so many breaking balls or they try to throw so hard all the time, Bruce. But I think teams are going to try to get back then. And, you know, as the rules, Paul's gone 7, maybe even 8 innings. But yesterday they had some real tough at-bats against him, and his pitch count got pretty high.
Gene, before we let you go, and really appreciate your time this morning, as long as you have been in the game, the way that it has changed, is there one thing you look at and you don't like specifically? And could you name one change maybe to Major League Baseball or baseball in general that you do appreciate?
Well, I think the pitch clock is work, you know, speeding up the game a little bit. I think it needs to be sped up some. I don't really like the 3-batter rule at all. I just think it changes the strategy, takes away quite a bit of strategy from the manager. So, you know, I think I'd like to see that go back the way it was.
Well, Gene, thanks so much for joining us, and it's a great pleasure to have you back in the game. I know the team has done extraordinarily better with the new changes there. So keep it up, and I hope you're there another 5 years, buddy.
Best of luck, Gene.
Well, I appreciate it. Sorry it's a little late.
That's okay.
Yeah. No worries.
Okay. Nope. All right.
Thanks, Gene.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Gene Lamont, the bench coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates, former manager of the White Sox and the Pirates. And I think that local guy who was a former first-round draft pick, Bruce. I did not realize his baseball past until our guy Mark Potash helped us reminisce about that.
Yeah, you know, he was picked ahead of Johnny Bench.
Was he really? In that draft 60 years
Johnny
ago?
Johnny Bench was picked in the second round.
Wow, that's a great little nugget.
Yeah. He was, and Gene was a catcher. You know, he was Ray Fosse, the great catcher with Oakland and great announcer for many years with Oakland, was picked in that draft. I think right before Gene, I think Gene was 13th in that draft. And, you know, the irony, of course, of it is, as Potsy pointed out, is 1965 was the first draft. Rick Monday was the first player ever picked in the amateur draft. Before that, it was all about how much money are you going to pay a player? Does he want to play for the Yankees? Does he want to play for the Cubs? They had territorial situations that were they were working on. But, yeah, the draft's only 60 years old. And
learn something new every day. Like, I did not know that Gene Lamont made you the manager. So he basically tried to get you into the game of baseball in a different role, Bruce.
It's a big mistake, David.
I think it goes without saying, Bruce. Really.
I was over my skis because you don't realize till you're sitting there, you know. Gene turned to me and said, okay, do you want to run here or don't you? Do you want him to take a pitch? Do you want our catcher to throw a what do you want him to have him throw on the 3-2 here? There was so much going on so quickly that I learned a finer appreciation to what it is to manage a game and the nuances of what goes on there. I have the privilege from the seventh inning on going down into the dugout to do a post-game interview on our radio broadcast if the Cubs win, and I get to see all the mechanisms of what they're trying to do, you know, getting guys ready to run two innings ahead of time, guys coming back and looking at their at-bats on the iPads. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating view of the game that really didn't exist up until probably 10, 12 years ago.
I would have loved to have second-guessed you as a manager.
You second-guessed me on everything else.
Well, that would have been great. I know. It would have been totally easy. That would have been so easy to do, though, Bruce. Like, why?
I would have made you the bullpen coach so I didn't have to look at you during the games.
Very good. All right, when we come back, we're going to play a little chin music because there was a lot of conversation this week, as there is most weeks, and we're going to listen to some of it and talk about it here on Inside the Clubhouse. We're here until 11. David Hall, Bruce Levine, Chicago Sports Radio, 670.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
High and inside.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
A bunch of people deserve kind of, there's a lot of credit that goes around for that, but I think it was just, it's really just let's try to uncover everything we can do to help Ron, to help a teammate. You know, there might have been six ideas that didn't work, right? But you're just trying to do everything you can do to maybe get a different way to think about a problem. Like, that, you know, kind of solving problems, it's interesting. It's like, a lot of times it's like, how does the player, coaching is like, how does the player hear the solution? So we might be offering kind of the same solution in different forms, and you want those the way the player hears it the best. And sometimes it's from another player.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell. I thought a very thoughtful Craig Counsell describing the approach with Ryan Pressly. Bruce, what did you think of what you heard from the Cubs manager?
Well, first of all, I have to say that Counsell is so much more open this year than last year. Maybe it just took him a year to get to know not only the personnel on the team and the people in the that work around Wrigley Field and for the Cubs, but also to get comfortable with the Chicago media to be more open to conversation and trusting in what he talked about. And this was about the fact that Ian Happ had Ryan Pressly, who had struggled, even though the numbers don't indicate it was a big struggle. There was that one where he gave up 9 runs and had to go back to the drawing board as far as learning what he was doing wrong. He went to Ian Happ and asked him about, you know, the approach to him and what he saw. And this was Counsell talking about the fact that we're all here to help each other, whether it's pitching coaches, managers, clubhouse guys, but in this case, another hitter helping a veteran relief pitcher get back to where he wanted to go. And we've seen the improvement in Pressly dramatically going up a couple miles an hour, his confidence on the mound different, the ability. And the other day, as we talked about on your show with Mully, him using Palencia in the 8th inning to get hitters out, and then using Pressly in the 9th to get the 1-2-3 against the Pirates to win that game. So the residual effect of teammates coaching and then trust being a part of a player's success.
I think it's fascinating to me that Ryan Pressly has done a couple things. I think, number one, you always appreciate, Bruce, a player who is as open about his struggles as Ryan Pressly seems to have been about his. Secondly, what I think is a fascinating part, when he was struggling, and really, let's face it, Craig Counsell was right. He said this the other day. He said one bad inning all year. It was a terrible inning, but it was May 5th and 8 earned runs, and he hasn't given up a run since that point in 13 outings. But when he talked about Ryan Pressly, this was interesting earlier in the week. He talked about Ian Happ being the teammate he went to kind of self-scout. And this is how he described his conversation with Ian Happ.
I had Happer write a full report on me and see what a hitter thinks on me and stuff like that. So, position players help pitchers too. So I, can be thankful for my teammates and, helping me in a really bad situation, I guess.
So did he volunteer that, or what was this report that he
did? No, he's already got a lot on his plate, trying to get ready for the game, and I added a little bit extra to see if he could help me, and he did, and he pulled me off to the side, and he helped me out a lot.
And so he kind of just, it's so interesting, so because you wanted a glimpse at maybe what was not.
Yeah, I wanted to see what, hitters got to prepare for pitchers too, right? So, when I get a report on me, and I can kind of see what I've been doing and what my tendencies were, and I think we got a little happy with one pitch in particular, and now we just got to mix everything in now.
Bruce, I don't know of many other examples, and we talked to Ron Coomer about this on the Molly Hall show as well, where a pitcher goes to a hitter and says, scout me, tell me what I'm doing wrong. But I thought that was interesting.
I think it's very interesting. It also shows collaborative way that the Cubs go about helping each other out. What Jameson Taillon, our guest earlier in the show, talked about, the communication and just the general way that these players like each other and work together. Now, let's be honest, we wouldn't be talking about it if they weren't in first place. We wouldn't be talking about great communication skills. And but with Pressly, I think the thing that was missed is that, when Counsell said, well, he only had one bad inning, that wasn't true. He was putting guys on base, right? He was walking guys. He was having to pitch out of his own jams coming in. And the difference now is that there's a much cleaner version of Pressly right now that we're seeing, and there's a much more confident guy. Now, let's also attribute it to the knee. He had He had a bad knee.
Got it drained.
During this time.
You got it drained. Yep.
So, and again, I asked him about that after his outing the other night, and he said, well, you know, none of us talk about our injuries or what we're going through with the media. You know, there's no reason to complain about, you know, your failures and physically why you're not doing well. Everybody has physical issues that they deal with through a season. So that's the macho part of being an athlete. And if you use it, people call you names that aren't very pleasant.
Well, I think Ryan Pressly, if you're a closer, you have to have that mentality that your stuff is unhittable and you have to take the mound with somewhat of a menacing approach. And I think that's really interesting in when you contrast it with the humility that was necessary for him to go to a teammate like Ian Happ and say, okay, I'm broken, try to help me get fixed. And so I appreciate his professionalism in doing that. Humility you don't often find. But I think bottom line, Bruce, is that you're right. He didn't have just one bad inning. It was one catastrophic inning and a lot of inconsistent ones to get there. But since then, he's been pretty good. What does that mean moving forward in your mind? The Cubs are going to be around for the duration. This is a team with pennant hopes and aspirations. Is Ryan Pressly, by the end of the season, do you think your ninth inning guy, or is Daniel Palencia your ninth inning guy, or when you have two guys functioning like they are, does it matter?
I don't think it matters to Craig Counsell. I really don't. I think he just wants to continue to get out-getters in his bullpen, and he wants to be able to turn to anybody. I don't think he would limit it to these two guys. I think he would use Keller there. I think he would definitely use a couple of his left-handers. So I think situation more than anything else for this manager dictates who he's using at the end of the game. The fact that they had an 0.90 ERA from May 14th on for the entire bullpen gives you a lot of options, doesn't it, David?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, oh, you're all good. So you're all out-getters. And, you know, ad nauseum, we're always informed by Counsell when we try to put labels on guys as setup men or closers, we're looking for 27 outs, okay?
You're looking for 27 outs.
Ad nauseum. He keeps hammering it home because he's trying to teach us that's how he's looking at the team and that game in particular, that individual game. Who's going to help me get that that 21st out and on? How am I going to use these guys? I think he's been really good at it.
Well, he has been very good at it. I think when you talk about a difference in Craig Counsell this year, he seems to be pushing the right buttons in the bullpen more than he has, or with better success rate than he did a year ago.
He's got better pitchers.
Well, yeah, he does. I guess that's an obvious answer, but I do think that some of the decisions that he's made, they fall into the category of just common sense, and I think that sometimes that was – you're right. When you have bad pitchers, it's easy to look like you don't know what you're talking about. But this year, the bullpen in the 25 previous appearances – heading into Friday's game, had an ERA below one. That is an upgrade over last year when we saw too many leads blown late in the ninth.
Tommy Hadevi and the pitching staff and Hoyer and his staff also get credit for identifying a Drew Pomerantz who hadn't pitched in the major leagues since 2021, a Brad Keller who was a failed starter and just trying to resurrect his career. You have to give the other people in the organization and the pitching people credit for bringing these guys along and making them feel really good about themselves getting that job done right now. Now, a month from now, we could be talking about something different, right?
Well, we will be talking about something different. We will.
It might be that the bullpen isn't quite as good as it was in May and June.
Well, that could be the case. They could be getting guys healthier and back in different roles. They might go out and get a bullpen arm or two and add to the mix. We don't know, but we do know
this. Let me ask you this before we go to a break. When Imanaga comes back healthy, okay, which should hopefully be in another couple of weeks, what starting pitcher is not starting any longer? What starting pitcher goes to the bullpen? Is it Ray? Is it Brown? who is the more successful pitcher if you get Assad back in late July?
Those are big ifs. Who goes where?
Well,
okay, you want me I'll anticipate the question before the Cubs add the ace. Ben Brown, to me, is a guy who has proven that the first inning, it might be in his head. It might be something that, for whatever reason, doesn't make any sense, but he seems to be a different pitcher. I would maybe consider moving him to the bullpen when Shota Imanaga comes back, using him in different ways as an out-getter. Colin Ray is good enough and versatile enough that if you have to go back to him in whatever capacity, I think he's going to be consistent and give you a professional effort. So I think that would be my first move. When you get the ace, then you have more flexibility with the Colin Ray as well. So that's a good problem to have, I think, if you're Tommy Hotovy and Craig Counsell.
Yeah, and, you know, Colin Ray is a really great example of the collaborative between the front office and the manager, okay? And mm-hmm. Counsell, having had him before, talked to him at length before they signed him. That's something we talk about right now when you bring in the Craig Counsells and the Terry Francona's to manage your team. You're getting also an assistant general manager to help you out. And if you're using him properly, it works really well for everybody involved.
It's just fun to talk in the middle of June about a team that has something to gain and is going to be a big player during the trade deadline, and you have a team that you think is going to be relevant in October. Right now, that is the Chicago Cubs, 42-28 in first place in the Central, Bruce. And I think the White Sox have their own. It's a different criteria. It's a different kind of spot in their growth. But this has been a fun season so far because of the things that we have seen on both sides of town.
When we come back for our last period of time today on Inside the Clubhouse, maybe we'll examine the offense, David, and see what is a realistic number to expect from this offense moving forward. No longer 6-run average per game.
I just do what you tell me. You're the manager. Gene Lamont just told me that. You're the manager.
But I only lasted 2 innings.
I'm glad you stayed with your day job, Bruce. All right, we come back. We'll wrap up Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Lefty Ryan Barucki has started warming up in the Pirates' pen. Tucker swings, and it's a high fly ball. Deep left center field. This will bang off the wall. Around third and racing home his hat. The relay throw all the way. It is in time, and Hap is tagged out by the catcher Davis on a head first slide out number 3, and that ends the 5th inning.
Hate when that happens. Thrown out at the plate, Ian Hap. Quentin Berry sent him, the third base coach, again downed at the plate. Bruce Levine, David Haw here, wrapping up Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, Bruce, good send, bad send, what say you?
Always bad send when the guy's out, right?
Yeah, but you understood it, right? In that case?
Yeah, of course.
Tough to score runs, tough day.
I think Barry and Javier, who are in charge of the base running on this team, have done a superlative job. This has been a great base running team. Very few guys getting thrown out on the bases. Very few moments like they had last year in May and June where they were leading baseball and losing runners on the bases, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a different team. Better runners. you don't know if it's better coaching, but there's good coaching going on. So some of these things will stand out when you're not scoring runs. That's what this gets us back to, right? When you're not scoring runs like you were at the beginning of the year. Now, David, the Cubs have scored 9 runs or more in 15 of their 70 games. And in those games, you know, they've averaged somewhere around 11 or 12 runs per game in those 15 games. The other 55 games, they've averaged 4 runs per game.
Okay.
So realistically, you know, 4.5 runs a game is more realistic of what you're going to score. You need to score 4.5 to 5 runs a game to be a good offense during the year. If you score 5 runs a game average, you're going to have a pretty good season offensively. And the Cubs haven't been able to necessarily do that lately. So the when they say, well, the Cubs are second in baseball with 380 runs, or the 3 runs behind the Dodgers, that's not indicative of what's going on right now.
A little deceiving?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great run-producing team. It has the potential to continue to do that from time to time. But the more realistic number is 4.5 to 5 runs a game to win baseball games. And the Cubs have been averaging a little less than that in recent times.
I got a White Sox nugget I want to get to, but along the lines you're talking Cub offense, we need to see more from Dansby Swanson. According to our guy Sean Sears, who did the research, Dansby Swanson, he's hit with men in scoring position in 2025. His OPS is 440. His career OPS with men in scoring position is 799. That tells me that there's a big drop-off there. That's one of those things that you look at and you kind of think, well, didn't realize that. But he does not come through often enough with runners in scoring position.
Are you throwing in the run save that he has at shortstop?
No, I'm not. I don't have that metric, Bruce. But that is a very good point, a very fair point. He is a Gold Glove defensive shortstop, and he saves runs. But I just wanted a couple more hits with runners in scoring position. Don't kill me for that.
Okay. Not going to kill you, David, but – you know, the complete player, there's only one guy that's played every game for the Chicago Cubs.
That's Dansby Swanson.
Correct.
They can't
there's
talk
a
him.
Reason.
They can't make
there's
him take
a reason
the day off.
For that. The manager is greedy about Dansby Swanson playing every day because he doesn't want that big drop-off of who else is going to play that position when he's not out there.
Well,
and Dansby Swanson wants to play every day.
Well, okay. So did PCA. He got a day off. And just saying, since you brought it up, yeah, PCA got a day off. He came back and hit a home run.
I asked counsel who that shortstop would be, and
who would it be?
You know, he didn't want to answer.
Brujan.
And he said, well, I have Nico or Brujan, and Nico will probably get if I don't have a shortstop there and that it's named Swanson, probably Nico will get most of that time.
Interesting. All right, White Sox. They are down in Texas playing the Rangers later today, tonight, and you look at their roster moves. One unheralded roster move. Ryan Noda is a local guy who is from Volo, grew up apparently idolizing Paul Konerko, and there's some suggestion that he might be part of the first base equation. Moving forward, Bruce, that roster is churning near the bottom. Noah Schultz also confirmed promoted to AAA after striking out 7 on Thursday night at AA.
Yeah, good. All good things. first base is wide open for you, David.
It's wide
open.
If
you'd like to consider changing careers and going back into playing baseball, there are a lot of openings there. Look, the position player situation. I'll preface this by asking you, in that lineup, daily lineup right now that you're watching with the Chicago White Sox, how many guys can you project being there next year?
That's a really good question. Well, Teal, yes. Caro, okay. Yes. I would say
hesitate. Yeah,
Vargas, yes. Other than that, it's a short list, way too short.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't bet on all those guys starting either. So it's an ever-developing situation on the south side of Chicago. Tryout camp for you, David, Monday morning.
I can still catch up with a fastball here and there. I don't know. I think I'd surprise you, Bruce. Might surprise
you. People are saying today, including Jameson Taillon of the Cubs, Gene Lamont of the Pirates joining us as guests. You and, of course, our great producer, Adam Stasinski, our producer today. I blew the name, but obviously...
Studs got it done great. Today. He was an all-star performance. Bruce, thank you for lining up the show. This was a lot of fun. Enjoy the Cub game. Thanks for listening, everybody. Mark Grody is next. You've been listening to Inside the Clubhouse right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.